Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph, and we are holding right after the story of Rav Papa, who was very happy with his tummy and said, nothing could put me down. So we got up to Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Well, this is now the question of the interrelationship between the individual and the tzibur. And that is introduced in our Mishnah. The Mishnah, interestingly enough, it calls special cases, it calls them the yechidim. Now that opens up the idea of the unique individual. But that is a question that every person who's just doing something as an individual has to deal with. So what is the relationship of yechidim to the taniyot? Because the question of the taniyot up until this time, we've seen, is something that is a tzibur issue. Now we suddenly recognize that there's such a thing as an individualized response that is not mechuyev in the tzibur as a whole, and only after those three first taniyot is bezdin gozer taniyot on the tzibur also. Initially, those taniyot have the same din. The first three taniyot of the tzibur and the three taniyot of the yachid, they are all taniyot kalot, in the sense that they are only chayiv in the morning, and they're not mechayiv you in inuyim, any inyanim of avelut. So this raises the overall question. What is the story of the interrelationship of the yachid and the tzibur on many different levels? What is the din of a yachid just is mit'aneh on his own personal problems? That has nothing to do with the tzibur. Do the same tfilot that we say in the ta'anit, do they apply to a yachid? Would he say the tfila of aninu? What about if a yachid is not affected by the problems that the tzibur has? What if a yachid is very rich, he has food stored up, everybody else may be starving because it's a year of drought, but he's got plenty of food himself. What's the interrelationship? So today we're going to start on this issue and then expand on it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ha-mar'iv atzmo b'shnei re'avon nitzel mimita mishuna. So if you have an individual where people are really, it's a year of famine. People are having a difficult time having food, getting enough food, having parnasa. And this person, who in order to participate with them, is very careful about what he eats and he'll only eat enough to survive, he can save himself because of that hanhaga from, not from death itself, but at a timely death, but from a mitah mishuna, from an accident and so on. Shneamar, because what it says in the pasuk is, this is all, again, part of Eov and Eov's Yisurin. So these were some of the things that Eliphaz was telling Eov, that these Yisurin of yours, you should know that they're all ultimately good, because Bira'av, Padacha Mimaves, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be poda you from a misa. What do you mean, Meira'av? Bira'av, it should have said Meira'av. Right? God will save you because of these Yisurin. He's going to save you from Ra'av. But must be that what Eliphaz was telling him is this, Hachikama, that because of the Ra'av, meaning Bishar Shemariv Atzmo Bishnei Re'avon, Nitzol Mimita Mishuna. Omer Eish Lakish, Asur La'adam L'shamesh Bitato Bishnei Re'avon. There's another issue which has to do with intimate relations that you should not be enjoying during Shnei Re'avon. So you'll say, what does sex have to do with food? Just because it's a Shnei Re'avon. But the point is that a person should recognize that his overall connection to the world and his pleasure in life is limited because of the way that life is not expanding the way that it usually is and can't be enjoyed by people the way it usually is. Therefore, he should also suspend his intimate relations, which are a joy for him and a connection for him to the world. Shneemar, ul Yosef yulad shnei banim b'terem tavo shnat hara'av. So this is all now in the parshiot coming up, all of these issues, as we're going to see. So we see that Dafka Yosef's children were born before the Ra'av had begun. Now, the truth is that Yosef, as we're going to see, was not even really chayev to do that, because Tana, chasuchei vanim, people who don't have children, Mishamshin mitoteyam b'shnei ravon, they don't have a right not to reproduce because that's already a mitzvah in the Torah. You can't be mevatel that mitzvah. This is the way most of Sharon, based on Rashi, who says that chasuchei vanim means shelo kimu pirya v'rivya. And that is basically the simple pshat. Because, I mean, otherwise, what's the reason? Just because you don't have any children. There is nonetheless a shita that holds that it's only chasuchei vanim. Chasuchei vanim means that you don't have any children. So it's more, not because of the mitzvah. I don't know. The only one who says this that I know of is the Taz. We don't paskin like that. But certainly Rashi makes it very clear that it's a din. In shalok yem periyav v'rivyaj. It says beferish. So what it was that Yosef was doing was l'chora, his own, as Tosfos says, it's his own essential midah of chasidus, but he really wasn't mechuyev to do this. Others suggest that maybe the pshat is that it's im eino inyan. In other words, if you eino inyan, Yosef, it's being meramis to you that it should be the inyan in other cases where you don't have money. In general, Tana Rabbana, Bizman Shi Yisrael Shruyim Bitzar. If you have a tzibur that is in pain, and one of them who doesn't suffer personally, so Pirish Echad Mihem, and he says, what do I care? It has nothing to do with me. But in Shnei Malachei Asharei Shemelavin Lo La'adam, remember that until very recently, the idea that every individual has two Malachei Asharis, based on the Pasuk of Ki Malachav Yetzavalach, L'shmorcha B'chol Derechecha, was such a powerful thing, as we learned, that before you go to the bathroom, you excuse yourself to your Malachim, and you say, please stay, this is something that only flesh and blood have to suffer, you know, so you wait for me outside. We stopped doing that only because now it looks like you are other, people speak to Malachim. But this was something that was like very deeply part of human experience. So when a person is purish from the tzibur, the two malachei asharis that are always with the person, menichin yadehem arosho v'omrim, this guy, ploni zeh, shepirish v'na tzibur, al yireh b'nechamat tzibur. He should never see when the nechama comes to the tzibur and there's a Yeshua. And there's a brisa that says, okay, what do I care? I can go home, and I can go and eat and drink, because I can afford it. So while all the homeless are sitting on his front step, and they're starving, he calls pizza delivery, and he gets himself a nice meal. Imo sekein, if he does something like this, Allah v'katuv omer. So this is the pasuk that is in Yeshaya, in which first we're talking about Yeshaya says that there should be a terrible response because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning a total churban, and therefore you should be kere for bechi and for kina and so on. But instead, continues the Navi, instead, what do they say? What they say is, v'nei sason v'simcha, oh, it's a happy day. Harog bakar, shachot son, echol basar v'shatot yayin, let's have some steak, we'll have some drinks, because now's the time to be echol v'shato. I mean, you're going to listen to these Jeremiahs, you know, so that in the end we're not going to have any fun in life. That would be terrible. But it's time to eat and drink now before things are going to go bad. Ki machar namut. Markativ batrei, what does it say after that? V'nigla be'oznai Hashem tzvakot. Hashem says, in my own ears, it's clear. Im yechupar avon hazeh lachem atmutun. That there will be no kapara for this thing until you're finished in olam haba. Anyway, this is for the good people, basically, for the benonim. Because at least they're worried about dying, and they say, ki machar namut. But for real Rishayim, they figure they can cheat death too. Midat Rishayim, it says, Maktiv. Over there it says, Etayu, let's get together. I'll bring the wine. Ekha Yayin, Nisba'a Shechar, we'll get good and drunk. Tomorrow will be even better. It just gets better. Maktiv batre, hatzadik avad, ve'ein ish sam alev, ki mipnei ara'an esaf hatzadik. People pay no attention that the reason that the tzaddik died was so that he shouldn't have to witness the horrible things that are coming on to Klal Yisrael. Or Rashi offers another pshat, that he should not be available to be mitpalel for them and to save them from what's coming. Instead, what's the halacha, says the Braita? Ela yitzaer adam im hatzibur. Always participate with the feelings of the tzibur. And Moshe Rabbeinu did that. Shekeim atzinu b'Moshe Rabbeinu. Shetzier atzmo im hatzibur. Because there he was. He wasn't personally fighting with Amalek. He sent Yehoshua. And what does it say? It says that when he was holding his hands up and he was being mispalel for Yisrael, so it says, v'dei Moshe kvedim, v'ku even, v'yasimu tachta v'yeshev aleil. So he sat down on a stone. Moshe Rabbeinu had to sit on a stone, but they couldn't afford one little nice pillow for him to sit on. V'chilo ha'yela l'moshe karachat, o gasot achat l'shev aleil. I mean, come on. El kach amar Moshe, ho'el v'Yisrael shruyim b'tzar, afani ayeh imahem b'tzar. If they're suffering, I suffer with them. And therefore, someone who is going to participate, person thinks to himself, okay, listen, I understand in public, you know, I can participate. But I mean, if I go back home and I have a pizza, who's going to know the difference? I mean, somebody's going to tell on me. Avnei beito shel adam. It's the very stones of the person's own home. Korot beito shel adam, the roof beams. Meidim bo. Shenema ki even mikir tizak. A stone in your wall will be shouting in the pain of what it's witnessing. V'chafis me'etzi anena. And a brick that's around, they used to design walls with bricks in the middle and wood around them, will answer, yes, it's terrible, it's terrible. This guy is awful. And not only that, but the very Bishila Amre, the very two Malachi Ashores that are always Malavi the Adam, they will be the ones to be made. Shenema ki Malachav Yitzavelach. Yitzavelach means I give them the job of seeing to it that I find out the way you've been acting. Rav Chitka Amir, what do you need? Anything else? A person's own neshama, he may ida alav. And that's why it says in the Pasuk in Micha, never share your closest secrets with your wife. That's the pashtus of what it means, as the Rush explains. Everybody's always sharing the secrets with the people that they think they can trust. Then when the divorce comes, all of a sudden you got a court case on those secrets. Just be careful with everybody. But the deepest one, not to be careful about, is your neshama, because that's the shochevet chekecha. That's what lives deep inside you. So you better watch the way you talk, because even if you're sitting there in the shower and you're cursing, believe me, your neshama is going to report on it. So Lamaisa, you should be careful how you speak, even when you're completely alone. That's how we're understanding it here. V'yesh omrim, evarav shel adam meidim bo. Every single organ in your body stands for this. Shenemar atem me'edai, you, Lashon Rabbim, are my witnesses. And then it says, this is all part of the same price that we've been bringing. El emuna ve'en avel. El emuna means you can absolutely be certain and trust the faithfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because k'shem shenifraim min ha'resha'im l'olam haba, afilo al aveira kala shosim, in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays Rishayim even for the smallest chait. It's not like, okay, for a guy like this, so he mizman kriyashma. You know, we're going to worry about mizman kriyashma when the guy is murderer. Absolutely. Kach nifraim min hatzedikim b'olam hazeh al avera kalashasim. The same kind of anoga for the smallest avera, in order that a tzaddik shouldn't suffer in olam haba and lose out on his fullness of his olam haba, he will be paid in olam hazeh. Ve'en avel is the opposite. K'shem shemishamim sechar letzadikim l'olam haba, afilo al mitzvah kala shosim, in the same way that we are sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nemonis, that there's not a single good deed that indeed isn't given schar in olam haba, kach mishalmim schar l'rishayim b'olam hazeh. The same thing is true, that it could be the biggest murderer and rapist and ganev, whatever it is, but even on a mitzvah kala shosim, he will be rewarded in olam hazeh. Tzadik v'yasharhu, and that's the end of the pasuk, because everything is in absolutely in the right fashion. Some learn this, the tzaddik v'yashar, is that the appropriateness of the secharlet tzaddik in b'olam haba versus their onesh in olam hazeh, and vice versa for rishayim, is in fact so beautifully appropriate based on the person's own psychology and way of looking at reality. P'tirato, shebishas p'tirato, this question, what it say, omru, I think I don't see anything wrong with the girsa that we have. So Amru, they say that Bishat Pitirato Shel Adam LeBeit Olamo, when a person is on his deathbed, so Kol Ma'asav Nifratim Lefanav, everything that he did in life is shown to him, and the Beis Din says to him, Omrim Lo, okay, Kach V'Kach Asita B'Makom Ploni B'Yom Ploni, you were in such and such a place, such and such a date, such and such a time, this is how you behaved. True? And the guy says, absolutely. Okay, sign. And he signs on every one of those things. Shema biyad kol adam yachtom. That every person has to sign the recording of his life. V'lo'od, not only does he sign, but afterwards, matzdik alav et adin. He says to the Beis Din, yofet din tuni, you are so right. L'kayem ha'shenem ha'laman tizdak bidovrecha. So that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be viewed as tzedek, that the person himself sees how incredibly appropriate the reality is of the din to the reality of his life instead of the narrative that he created. Omar Shmuel, now that we've talked about the interrelationship of the Yochid and the Tzibur, so now the question is, does the individual have a right on an individual tzar, as opposed to his participation with the tzaras HaTzibur? Does he have a right to be Yoshev B'Ta'anit on his own? So Shmuel says, no. Kol HaYoshev B'Ta'anit Nikra Chote. If you sit in a state in which you're being mitzayer yourself, so you believe that this is an extreme asceticism, is a maila, and it's a good thing to do, that's wrong. And you're actually called a chote, because he holds like the famous Braita. Tanya, Rebbe Elazar HaKafar Baribi Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, tell me, what do you think is meant that the Kohen, who's bringing the korban for the Nazir, it says that that Kohen should be Mechiper Alav Ma'asher Chata Ala Nefesh. What do you mean, Asher Chata Ala Nefesh? What, a Nazir is a murderer? V'chibe is a Nefesh Chata, I understand. He took someone's soul? Yes, his own. Because for whatever level of life and whatever level of enjoyment and in being part of the world that he deprived himself of by not drinking wine in his state of Naziris, that's called Chote al HaNefesh. Eloshitzier Atzmo min Hayayin. And the Torah is calling him a Chet. And therefore, you see from here that it's a Kavachomer, Valo Dvarim Kavachomer. If this Nazir, I mean, how much was he mitzayer himself? Oh, he didn't say he's not going to eat. He didn't say he's going to fast three times a week. He said he's not going to drink wine. So ma'azeh shalot tzirat smo elam in ayayin nikra chote. All he did was deprive himself of wine. Ha'mitzayrat smo mikol davar v'davar. Somebody makes himself a tanit. Now he won't be able to eat at all. So for sure he's a chote. Alachat kama v'kama. Whereas Rebbe Elazar, as opposed to Rebbe Elazar ha'kafar baribi, Rebbe Elazar aimer, no, on the contrary. He's called a kadosh, because, I mean, the pasuk says about the Nazir, kadosh yiye, gadel peras arosho. And therefore, I say the opposite, kal v'chomer. If this Nazir, who all that he did was he was mitzayer atzmo min hayayin, and nonetheless he's called a kadosh because he wanted to abstain and make himself more aware of the important things in life, and that's enough to be called a kadosh. So, I mean, kol shekein, if somebody is mitzarat smo mikol davar, alachat kama v'kama, so for sure he should be considered to be kadosh. Okay, so, I mean, how do we explain these two diametrically opposed approaches, both of which seem to be supported by the pasuk? So, according to Shmuel, how do you explain the fact that it does say kadoshi? It says beferish that he's kadoshi, Gadol Pera? He says, to Shmuel, yeah, Kadosh refers to the Gadol Pera. The hair is considered to be Kadosh, meaning it's Osir Ba'ana. That's what it means. Kadosh in the sense of it's separated because this was done l'shem that mitzvah. Okay, and according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that he's considered to be Kadosh, the person, how do you explain the fact that it says Me'asher Chatal HaNefesh? Hey, man, says Rabbi Lazar, you can't read the Pasek? Where does it say that? V'chiper alav HaKohen. Does it say that on a Nazir Tahar? It says that on a Nazir Tameh. Well, obviously, it was Chotei Al HaNefesh. He exposed himself to Tumas Meis, which was an Isser. I understand it was B'shogeg, whatever, but that's not the point. So who did Soyev Nafshet? He had been Metame himself, and therefore he needs a Kapara for that. That's all. He was over on that Isser. The Kohen should be Mechaper on that Isser. So, wait, you're telling me that Rabbi Lazar says that it's a good thing to make a Tainus? Didn't Rabbi Lazar say, V'mi'omer Rabbi Lazar, achi v'omer Rabbi Lazar, lo lam yamod adam atzmo, a person has to be very careful because he has to look at his life. Ki'ilu, this is an amazing idea, ki'ilu kadosh sharui betoch me'av. He has to imagine that his very insides, his guts, his intestines are holy. Tosfos says kilo kadosh means as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting inside of his body. And that has the way that he has to treat it, with generosity, with sensitivity, with kavod. So if that's what he holds, and he says it's an amazing pasuk, Bekir Becha Kadosh, the law of Obair. Since inside of you there is this deep kedusha, so therefore I am not going to come into Yerushalayim Shalmala if it's not treated properly. So apparently Rabbi Lazar holds that you have to be very sensitive to your body. And here he says it's okay, you're considered to be Kodesh if you deprive your body, and it's a Kal V'chomer. Isn't this a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction, says the Gemara Lo Kasha. Hodamotzi L'tzu'urei Nafshi. What was his lashon? His lashon was yamud atzmo, means to carefully measure yourself and to be aware of the impact of your nutrition and your behavior on your body. That's what he said. So that means exactly what he said. In other words, be absolutely certain that this fast is not going to affect the fullness of your involvement in life and the level of your awareness. And on the contrary, that it's going to enhance your awareness of what's important in life. Not you're going to go to bed, turn on the TV because you're feeling so lousy and you're going to go to sleep. You're not going to be able to learn. I mean, this is called the tainus, that you should be mitzayir yourself in order to be mamayit b'melech ha-shamayim. It's just a nice atzas hayetzer. That's all that it is. So therefore, you need to know the difference. This is someone who will not be affected by the tzar. He will be in pain to the point that it allows him to recognize that, you know, life is not about eating, but he's certainly not going to be in any way affected so that he can understand less, or he's got a headache and he's not able, like the Rambam says, Yev shalol avedas Hashem v'hu choleh, and so on and so forth. Whereas when Rebbe Lazar says, be very careful, it's talking about the lomat silet surei nafshei. So that is exactly what he said. There's no contradiction whatsoever. Reish Lakish says, I taina, that if that person is going to fast and he's able to, then he's nikra chassid. Forget about being nikra kodesh. He's even considered to be a chassid. This is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. It's referring to the person who does fast. And it says, gomel nafsho ish chassid. So gomel nafsho, Rashi understands, if you wean yourself off of your physical needs, and you learn to get along without them, that's literally gomel nafsho. So you become weaned from the dependencies that everybody has. Then you are called an ish chaset. V'ocher she'iro, and somebody who destroys his own body. So this is talking about if you're not able, meaning that you are mitztayer and you're not able to focus, and you do get a headache and so on, so then you're an achzar. That's cruel. So according to Rashi, Reish Lakish is basically expressing the very idea that Rabbi Lazar said. It depends. If you're capable of being gomel nafsho, now you can live without it. Exactly. That's what weaning is about. It's not you're in a constant state of pain because you don't have mommy's milk. So the same thing is true over here. You're not in pain on that level. You're just beyond it. So you're weaned. That's great. Then you're called a chosid. But if you are being mitzayer yourself, meaning ocher she'ero, so now you're destroying your own body, that's cruelty. What would be the point in such a thing? That's a beautiful way of learning it. Tosis is bothered by the fact that gomel nafsho ish chosid is used all over the pashtuses, that the gomel nafsho means you give yourself. So he learns just the opposite, that this is going back on the shita that you're not allowed to fast, and it's saying gomel nafsho, somebody who cares about his own enjoyment of life, he's called an ish chesed, like that beautiful story of Hillel, where they asked Hillel where he's running. He was running one day, and they said, where's Rebbe going? I'm going to do chesed. So they kept pushing him. He finally, they asked him, what's the chesed? I am going to take a shower. And it says, gomel nafsho ish chesed. So he brought this pasuk. So anyways, the Tosfos says, okay, so then the pashtus of the meaning is on the contrary. If you do good for yourself, so then you're an ish chesed. Whereas if you deprive yourself, you're ocher she'ero, so then that's the simple meaning of the pasuk, so then you're an achzor. So according to Rashi, it's going directly back on the two levels that Rebbe Elazar said. And according to the way of Tosfos, he's saying it's only talking about the previous shita that you're not supposed to. Omer of Sheishas, I can tell you one thing, that somebody who's busy learning, and he's a barbe rav, he's sitting and learning in the yeshiva, and he goes ahead and he makes a tainus, give his meal to the dogs. Ridiculous, what an idiot. This is what you do when you're supposed to be using your time to learn and to grow, so you're going to now be limiting the amount of concentration that you can have, because now you got to be a big tzaddik, and you have to let his meal be eaten up by a dog. Or another pshat, Rashi says, you know what his tainus is worth? It's worth exactly what it would have been worth if he was about to sit down to a good meal and the doggy came and gobbled it up. That's like a big schluss. That's about what his tainus is worth. Now, it's very interesting that halacha lemaisa, this is a reflection of something that was, I believe, that it's a reflection of something that was once very, very common, particularly in Europe, because of Christian influence. There was this idea of, I mean, to a horrible extent, you take a look at some of the Sfarim and so on, they used to stress punishment for oneself. So, you know, so like the Christians do, you know, so if you sinned, you know, you slept with your neighbor's wife, all you need to do is flagellate yourself, you know, 153 times or whatever, and say your Ave Marias, and then you can do it again. That's what it basically boiled down to. So they could feel, you know, that, okay, now I have a kapora, you know, so everything is okay. So now I have a papal dispensation to do whatever I'm doing. So this particularly sexual obsessions and so on, this was like so common, so that people would go and make ta'aniyot. So for doing such and such a sin, you need to fast 61 days. And for doing such, it sounds crazy to us because it has so many Christian overtones. But I mean, this was really serious stuff that people were doing. And it became evident to the Peskim that this was very unhealthy. And that on the contrary, it's the opposite of Avedas Hashem. And that in fact, people were substituting tainiyos for tshuva. Remember, as the Rambam explained, the whole point of the tainiyos is to basically withdraw to the extent that now you could see things from a different perspective that allows you to do teshuva. But instead, people were focusing on the suffering of the tanit itself to take the place of tshuva. And I think that accounts for the very, very strong reaction against these behaviors. And in fact, when you read these sforim, I mean, they were sforim. When you read these sforim, it's really a tremendous turnoff. So there's a beautiful shalah. I want to read you the shalah. And I think it was based on this reaction. So he says like this. He says, I saw in the writings of the Arizal that, and I found this in a Ksav Yad of the Arizal, that all of this stuff that you find in all of these books, Kol ma shetimtza b'sigufim, this person is supposed to cause himself to suffer, lo nizkeru elo lemi she'ena melo b'torah. This is only for people whose life is not involved in learning Torah. But if you're involved in learning Torah, and he's yodea das and yiras Hashem chas v'shalom that he should be machlish or be mizvatel milimuda, I have a better idea. How about one day out of the week, yom echad min haShavua, you should go into itbodedut, yitrachek mibnei adam, go into your own area, don't meet anybody, yitboded beino levein kono, v'itkasher machshavto bo, ki'ilu omed lefanav biyom hadin, and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kasher yedaber ha'eved al rabo, ben el aviv, or the Chaye Odom writes. Also, the same vein. Afilu ala verot yiduim, even on the sins that everybody knows, that the Rokeach says that you have to be mitaneh for a kapora, for which particular sin, kama yamim, and so on. That's all not for tamir chachamim. If a person is learning, lo yisagef atzmo kokach, the important thing to do is to do teshuva. Sheyashuv lifnei Hashem b'lev shalem, v'yivkeh mikirot halev, yilmod yoter miasher hayaragil, because the Torah itself is the mikvah tahara, and it's nimshal ke'esh. V'chol asher yavo be'esh, be'esh yavo v'taher. So this person, he should be mamayet mitanugim, he shouldn't have his Ben and Jerry's for that day. V'yochal rak k'dei kiyum gufo, shelo yechalesh, k'dei she'el ha'koach l'avodes Hashem. He shouldn't go to restaurants for sure, lo yelech l'shum suda, kol sheken l'sudat mireut, and be very careful that the ikr is b'chia, vidui, u'gedorim shelo yaseh zot le'olam, v'Hashem yireh l'levav. So you see clearly that this is what is motivating this type of writing, which was really quite often that people would be using this. And this is the way that the Gemara is responding now, that somebody who doesn't utilize his Torah and doesn't utilize Teshuvah and instead gets this Christian religious response that somehow or other asceticism is going to be the cure for his problems, when Teshuvah is what he should be doing and gaining in his closeness with the Kaddish Baruch Hu and his real perspective of life. So therefore, the Gemara also, in the same vein, says things like this. Lechel kabbalah sheirute. Omri b'yirmeh baraba, there is no ta'anit zibur in Bavel, other than Tisha B'Av. When we say there's no ta'anit zibur, it means that there is no chumrah of the ta'anit zibur, which means it has to start the night before, and that it has the dinim of Avelis, of the Inuyim, and so on. That is not in Chutz Laretz, it's only in Eretz Yisrael, and it is a gezer on the tzibur that Chazal made, but otherwise, because of lack of gishomim or whatever, there's no tainas tzibur, even though in Eretz Yisrael there is. Now, Tosfos understands this to mean that this is because, like we had yesterday, tuvani, it's going to be always wet in the water table, v'lo yufshani, so fine, therefore we don't need it. Now, that would mean that would only be an inyan of Tisha B'Av, of Bavel. But what about in places that do need it? So why would there be no Tanis Tzibur? You know, I want to say over something that I saw from Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. And he says that one, he gave every year, he used to give a shiur lezecher his father. It was called the shiurim lezecher avi. As a kid, I used to hear these shiurim. So I would go into New York, I listened to him. One of the things that he said that was extraordinarily beautiful about this sugya, in that he said that there's two inyonim in the tainus. That one inyon in a tainus is the tzora that we're involved in. But the deeper inyon of the tainus, he compares to the issue of Yom Kippur. In other words, this concept of Yom Kippur being the model for the taniyot, which are Taniyot of Avelut, is very strange. Because, like, why is that the model? Isn't it a completely different feeling as opposed to the question of Avelut? So he was mechadesh that the reason we use this model is because our response to the fear of Hester Ponim is this sense of acting as if we're in Avelut. Which is why on Yom Kippur, even though we're not in Avelut, but what it is that we're doing is essentially recreating the coming into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Olam Haba and so on. Therefore, this is our madrega for that experience. Memela in Eretz Yisrael, there is that feeling of the profound ability to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the horror of Hester Panim when you're not. But in Chutz La'aretz, you're always in such a state of Hester Panim that you don't even know the difference, basically. Therefore, it's not possible to have a Tainis Tzibur that is based on that additional model, except for Tisha B'Av, where we were actually gozer b'chlal on all of Yisrael to relive the Churban, which is like the ultimate Hester Panim. I thought it was very beautiful. This is a din in the Golan b'chlal. So that's Ein Tainis Tzibur, it's not a din in Bavel, but it would apply all over outside of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, Reb Yirmiyah Bar Abba quotes Reish Lakish as saying that Ein Talmid Chacham Reshai Leishev B'Tanit. It's an Isser for a Talmud Chacham Mipnei Shememaet B'Melechet Shamayim. Because even though he will still be learning, but it won't be with the same level of concentration, it won't be with the same level of awareness. And because of that, it's Usser for him even to be Memayet in the Melech HaShemayim. Okay, now, the Mishnah says that what these three ta'aniyot of the Yechidim are, is that they're ochlim v'shotim, v'shechashecha, you're allowed to eat and drink, and actually there is no inyan of eating and drinking erev in order to prepare, because you can eat and drink all night long. Omer Rebbe Zira Omer Rav Huna, yochet shekibel alav ta'anit, afilu achal v'shata kol halayla, let's say that an individual is mekabel on himself a ta'anit the day before, at mincha. Even if he eats all night long, that's okay, because in the morning, that's when his ta'anit prevents him from eating. And therefore, as long as he kept the ta'anit starting in the morning, he is able to say the bracha of anenu, because it really is a ta'anit for him. So eating and drinking all night long is irrelevant. Then if he continues and he comes to the nighttime when he's ready to break his fast, he says, you know what? I want to continue my tainis. So he continues fasting and he sleeps in the tainis. The next morning he wakes up and he says, oh, well, I haven't eaten yet. I didn't break my ta'anit yet. So it's still a ta'anit for me, right? So I'll say anenu in shachris. No, that's not considered to be a ta'anit when he continued it. We'll see why this is true. Now, this upcoming sugya is a very complex sugya, and there's many, many shitas. And it is called the sugya of ta'anit sha'ot. Can you make partial ta'aniyot? Now, the question of the relationship of this idea to ta'anit sha'ot also raises another issue. Let me ask you something. Suppose it's a ta'anit which only starts in the morning and you don't fast at night. Is that because the ta'anit didn't start until the next day? Or is it because the ta'anit starts at night, but it's not mechayev you to fast? But it would still give you a din of a ta'anit, meaning, would you say anenu at the nighttime? Would you say anenu during ma'ariv? Many Rishonim hold you say da'anenu during Ma'ariv. And in fact, the minig in Jerba, the minig in Teiman, at least in some cities in Teiman, is to say at night, even though you're eating. You're saying anenu. The nafkamina that this makes, by the way, was very nogea. Rav Moshe has an incredible teshuvah on someone who had no opportunity to get married before the 3 weeks, and his first opportunity was on Matzoy Shabbos when Shivaser B'Tammuz was the next morning. So in other words, it was Leil Shivaser B'Tammuz. So now the question is, does Shivaser B'Tammuz begin the night before? Because a Ta'anit actually begins on the night before, even though you're not fasting. Or does Shivaser B'Tammuz begin the next morning? In which case, if it begins the next morning, so then you would be allowed to get married at the nighttime. Because it's not yet the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks only begin with the Tainus of Shivaser B'Tammuz, right? Amazing. Only Rav Moshe could come up with a kula that allowed the guy to get married on Shivaser B'Tammuz. So sure. I mean, he said, look, it's only because it's such an important mitzvah, and it's only because the guy's in such a pinch, but he allowed it, incredibly. So, I mean, this is, Atkedekach would be nogea. How do we really understand a tefillas aninu at night, or the nature of atinus at night, it's not so pasha. Then we have this other question that we're about to engage in, which is there such a thing as atinus for particular hours of the day? So let's say a guy is mekabel on himself atinus, I will fast from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock tomorrow morning. Is that called atinus? Does it have the segulas of atinus? Would he say aninu at such atinus? So according to the Yerushalmi, you can be koveya, literally the simplest meaning of the Gemara. You can be koveya atinus shows. The Rambam paskins like that Yerushalmi. The problem is that the Ritva brings from a letter that the Rambam wrote as a tshuva that he says he has harata from that psak, and that you can't just do a tiny shows, but rather the definition of a ta'anit sha'ot is the way our sugya understands it, which is much more complex, as we're about to see. So now Rav Yosef begins to question, what is the logic in Rav Huna? There's two ways of understanding it. I mean, Rav Huna says, it's not mispal shel ta'anis and shachris the next morning, just because he continued with his ta'anis. I have two ways of understanding what his svara is. It might be, Mikasov Rav Huna, maybe he holds Ein Mitanim L'Sha'ot. So in other words, since this guy has completed his tainus, he only was Mekabel tainus till the nighttime, and then he changed his mind and he said, you know what? What the heck? I will continue. But the new Ta'anit that he's continuing is only be going on for 14 hours, let's say, right? So is a tainus for 14 hours a tainus? Apparently, Rav Huna is saying no. That's one way of understanding Rav Huna. But he might hold, no, actually, Odilma, Mitanim L'Sha'ot, he does believe that it has a din of a ta'anit, but he holds that HaMitanim L'Sha'ot Eino Mitpalel Tefilat Ta'anit, that the din of the Tefilat Ta'aneinu is only kavua on somebody who is fasting a ta'anit for the whole day, not somebody who's doing it for hours. Omale Abaye, neither of the above. You're missing the point. Actually, Rav Huna holds you are Mitanei L'Sha'ot. Not only that, Rav Huna holds that if you are Mitanei L'Sha'ot, you do say Tfilat Aneinu on the Tanit, and it is Chashev to say the Tfilah. So why in this case did he say no? Shainei Ocha, over here it's completely different. Because Ika Sha'ot Leila Delo Kibel Alav Meikara. He initially was mekabel the ta'anit the day before to end that night. When was he mekabel the new ta'anis? A ta'anis only gets a din of a ta'anit when you actually are mekabel it on yourself as a neder ta'anit. So since in this case it was a change of mind that was specifically not included in the original neder, that's why it's not a ta'anit. And in this case, it's not a ta'anit at all. It's just you're not eating. Not eating is not a ta'anit. You can have a ta'anit when you do eat, and you cannot eat, and it's not a ta'anit, which is amazing, right? So we're so used to the idea that, no, these are synonyms, you know, not eating and a ta'anit, they're not synonyms at all. They're completely different states, which is remarkable. I'm going to read to you from the Tosfos who brings the Bahag as the sugi goes on, and you'll see how powerful this idea is. So Mar Ukva came to Ginzak, and they asked Mar Ukva, so he was like taking all of the questions, you know, because the people didn't have a rav there, so he was taking all the questions. So they asked him three things. They asked him, is there such a thing as mitanim l'sha'ot, or ein mitanim l'sha'ot? He didn't know the answer. Lo havi biyad. They asked him, kankanim shel nochrim, asurim or mutarim? These barrels that are made out of cheres, that were used for storing stam yena, are you allowed to use them, or are they considered to be asurim bahana'a? And are you allowed to actually not worry about the taste of the wine in them? Lo avi biyad. Didn't know. Then they asked him, the whole story of the miluim, it talks about the big kahuna that need to be made for Aaron Uvanov, and how Moshe put them on Aaron Uvanov. So here, he obviously was not wearing those big kahuna. So what was he wearing? So as Rashi says, I mean, it's hard to believe that he was just wearing a t-shirt. I mean, like, you know, he goes into the Mishkan to do the first Avodah in his t-shirt. That doesn't make sense. So they just take for granted. He must have been wearing something special, no? So what would you wear special when you're coming to be mechanech l'mishkan? He didn't know. Lo havi miyadei. So Marukva was a little bit upset that he didn't know any answers. Anyway, so he goes into the Beis HaMedrash to ask in the Beis HaMedrash what was the correct answer to these questions. So they told him, Omer lei v'halacha is yes, mitanim l'sha'ot. And yes, if he's mitanim l'sha'ot, he's actually mispalo, the tefillah steinis, so he says anenu. By the way, the Ramah paskens, as you all know, that the anenu of a yochid should not be said as a separate bracha, and that the anenu of a yochid should be put into shomea tefillah. This has become now the minhag all over, and it avoids all of these questions. Because even if you're not quite certain whether the tanit is a real tanit, so it's not so terrible to say an anenu if you're not saying it's a separate bracha. If it really doesn't have a din of a tainism, you don't want to say anenu b'yom tzom ta'anitenu to be a mishaker b'tfilascha. But as far as the suffix brachas is concerned, you don't have that problem. Hilchata, the second idea is that kankanim shel nochrim la'acha shnei masar chodesh mutarim. After 12 months, the taste of wine is no longer really there. And therefore, you're allowed to use it. This is part of the whole question of using those sherry casks for your liquor and so on. We was involved in this question. And Rav Avadia Yosef even paskens, you know that and many other poskim, not only this far, the Ashkenazi poskim also, that this could be a general halacha. For instance, suppose somebody's got a dishwasher that was used for tray for foods. So now the question is, the dishwasher hasn't been used for 12 months. Is this a special din that is said over your dafka on yayin, and it's because the time of yayin is mitbatel, or can you use this as a general heter for porcelain, which normally in the porcelain line dishwasher, normally you'd want to avoid using it if it was used for tarfus? Is this a general psak? Or somebody, this happened to me actually, you see a beautiful set of dishes that are being sold, you know, on a street corner. You often have this, like these sales, right? You get these antiques. I mean, it's not kosher. It wasn't even Jewish stuff. I mean, like, so suppose you leave it for like 12 months. So can you then use it? So, I mean, there are those who are matured, even though to be machmer and to, you know, do the thing that you do before Pesach, for people that are mekel, to use these kind of kalims, you three times, you let it sit for 24 hours. But based on this Gemara, there are those who are matir as a general approach to tough cases like this. So, and what was it? B'mashi mesh Moshe kol shivat yimei ha-miluim. He just wore a special chaluk lavan, like we find by the Kohen Gadol, and for the Kriya and so on. That's what he wore. Rav Kahana Masneh. It was a chaluk lavan she'en lo imra. Now, wait a minute. It wasn't just a white clothing, because white clothing have seams. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu would never have gone into the Mishkan with seams in his clothing, because we know exactly what would have happened. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Those seams are probably filled with gold when he comes out. I mean, after all, you know, if he's going out of his house, he's in trouble with his wife. If he's going into his house, he's probably sleeping with other people's wives. If he's late for the bezdin, he's probably making up things to do against Klal Yisrael. If he's got begonim that have a place to hide things, he's obviously stealing. I mean, it's like incredible. Mamish incredible. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, so it had to be Davka She'en Lo Imra. Now, here comes the problems with the Tanit Sha'ot. Because B'Pashtus, you would understand that you could have a Tanit Sha'ot just the way we just paskin. There's no problem. The problem is that you'd have to be Mekabalit in advance. Now, what we mean by being Mekabalit in advance is not clear. Do we mean Mekabalit in advance the day before, the way you would be Mekabalit, a normal Tainis, B'Shas Mincha? Or do we mean as long as you're Mekabalit in advance before the actual fast begins? So let's say if your tiny shows is from 12 o'clock on, so then you could be Mekabalit at 11 o'clock. So these are all the issues that we have to consider. Now, the place where we start getting confused is here. Omer of Chista, it's all very nice to say you can fast for hours, But that's only if you didn't eat anything all day. What? Okay. So there goes our fast for hours. What in the world is that supposed to mean? So Hada Amrit Mitanim L'Sha'ot, it's only on condition that you didn't eat anything until the end of the day. That's considered to be the Ta'anit L'Sha'ot. But let's say you ate in the morning before you started your Ta'anit L'Sha'ot, or you eat in the afternoon after you did your Ta'anit L'Sha'ot, that's not called a Ta'anit L'Sha'ot. That's not a Ta'anit at all. Omalei Abaye, what do you mean? I mean, isn't that a regular Ta'anit? Ha'Ta'anit Ma'ayatai. I mean, if at the end of the day, you're telling me that he didn't eat anything, so like, why isn't that a good Ta'anit? No, says the Gemara, what Chizkiya is talking about, Lo Tzricha, is the Imlachim Luche. Point over here is that the guy basically changed his mind and decided to make it a Ta'anit. In other words, let's imagine the case that he went ahead and was going to eat breakfast, and then he gets a phone call, and then he gets another phone call. By the time he's off of his telephone, it's already 11:30. The guy says, you know, Shkia's at 5. I haven't eaten yet, and the truth is I've lost my appetite with all these awful phone calls. So why don't I just make a Ta'anit for the rest of the day? So then he's makabel. Now, if you hold you can be makabel a Ta'anit before the Ta'anit, and it doesn't have to be the day before, so then he says, okay, I am makabel a Ta'anit. Okay, and then he stops eating because he was makabel a Ta'anit. So that's the Chiddush. So Rav Chisda is saying, look, you weren't fasting, and nonetheless, it's still considered to be a Ta'anit, but that's because you didn't eat all day. You can't tell me that if Lamaisi he ate breakfast and then he decides he wants to fast, that that's considered to be a Ta'anit. That's not a Ta'anit. Or vice versa. It could be the other way around also. It could be that what happened over there was, this would be the Shita of those who hold, like the Magen Avraham, if the Shita is that you have to be Makabel the Ta'anit before, so then if the person was Makabel the Ta'anit that it should be from, let's say, Chatzos, so I'm going to fast from Chatzos, and then in the morning he doesn't eat because of his phone calls, so then it would also be the same case because you were Makabel in advance. So according to those who say Kabbalah in advance means the day before, still the same story would work out that you could have a case like this. And in that case, you could even maybe add to your Ta'anit. But what about by Bedavka not eating in the morning? What about in a case where you started not eating in order to be Miss Anna, and then you decided you're going to complete it for the day? So can you be makabel then? And the answer, surprisingly, counterintuitively, is no. Because you always have to be makabel the Ta'anit before the Ta'anit, not before the not eating. So if you were fasting in order to fast, and not because of your phone call, as Rashi says, your Torah and your business, or whatever it was, then it's too late to be makabel, because the Kabbalah is always prior, and therefore does not count. And therefore, well, maybe this part we'll do tomorrow, but you know what? Yeah, it's late. I'm so sorry. So I'll read you the Bahag tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, as an introduction to the continuation of Rav Chisda. I keep thinking we're back in the old times, and I've got another 20 minutes. Then I'm, oh my God, I'm always shocked. So excuse me. All right, but it's a tough sugya, so I think at least we've got the basics over here in terms of the emotions, in terms of the connections, in terms of the different levels of what a Ta'anit means, the difference between Ta'anit and not eating, the difference between a Ta'anit Chamur and a Ta'anit Kala, especially with this really profound insight of Rabbi Yoshe Ber. And Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow, and look forward to seeing you. And those of you who came late today, no names mentioned, Bezrat Hashem will be zochet to come on time tomorrow and to be able to continue the sugya straight from the beginning. Meanwhile, Oshia Samecho Vareches Nachalasecha, this is not just sort of a standard mantra. This is a real tefillah that is engaged in every morning. Oshia Samecho Vareches Nachalasecha. May we be zocha to learn under very different circumstances tomorrow morning, but whatever the circumstances are, may we be zocha. So see you then, Bezrat Hashem. Kol tov.